Okay, Daf Mem Dalet. We're starting with the Mishnah on Mem Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom. So the Mishnah continuing the halachas of Shlichus Yad. Hachayshev l'shloach yad v'pikodim. If you sit, Rashi says you say, other Rashi's in Shas say you don't have to say. You can just think. You think you're going to be shloach yad. You announce that you're going to be, even though you haven't actually done it yet. Beisham is mechadish that you can be chayav for Shlichus Yad without ever touching it. Just your intention to touch it is good enough. Based on a pasuk, we'll see in a second. Beisul Omer Enu Chayvet Shishalach Bayad. Beisul says no. Until you actually do it, it doesn't count at all. Shenemar Im Loi Shalach Yadur Melachas Reus. You're making a shvur that you didn't do it. Not making a shvur that you didn't think about doing it. It says Beisul, you're making a shvur that you didn't actually do it. So you're not going to be Chayvet Shalach Yadur until you actually do it. Says the Mishnah, Hita Esachavis. Instead of lifting up the brow, Shlichus Yad, still you're trying to make a kinyan, like a kinyan gzela. So you have to make a proper type of action that ends up with a sort of a kinyan. So Hita Esachavis, if you just tilt the barrel, you haven't actually picked it up, V'notoli menu revius, and you take out a revius of wine, but you don't know the rest of the wine, you have not lifted up and haven't touched it at all. V'nishbara, and now the barrel breaks. Ba'oinis, if you're a shalech yad, you're chayv anointed. If you're not, you're not. Says the Mishnah, ena mishal mele revius. You're only going to be chayv on the revius. The rest of the barrel that you did not pick up, you just tilted, then you're not going to be chayv on. That's not going to be called a shlichus yad on the rest of it. However, higbia, if you lift up the whole barrel, v'notol men revius, even though you ended up only taking out of the barrel a single revius, but you did lift up the rest of the barrel for nishbara, then you're going to pay dmei kula, because even though we say that shlichus yad needs a chesaron, you took the revius, but lamaisa, you made a kinyan on the rest of it, you're going to be chayv einzin on the entire barrel as well. Says the Mamanani Mili. So where's this machlekes b'sham and b'sil for whether we chayv shlichus yad just for b'machshava? The Tana Rabbanan. The pasuk says by shlichus yad al kol dover pesha al shara chamar al sel salma al kol aveda shayyemek yuzel yevim dvar shneim asher lekiel shino kim yisham shneim l'reiu. That was the halacha of Kefil, but it starts, the pasuk says, basis Shama focuses al kol dover pesha. Pesha means you did an aver. It doesn't say what you did yet. So Beishami Yomri Malami Chechayv al Machshava Kemaisa. This al kol dover pesha says thinking to do this type of zela is also going to make you chayv. Basil says, Basil Amim, and Uchayv at Shishalch Bayad. No, no, no. Thinking is not Machayv you anything until you actually do the Mice of Gzela, Mice of Shlichus Yad Yinachayv. Shnamer im loy sholach yadr melachas reyu. So what does Basil do with Beshamah's Pasuk? Amalem Beshamah Basil v'alik for anemar kol davar pesha, and it's mashma, just the idea, the thinking of it is enough to make you chayiv. Amalem Basil v'Beshamah v'alik for anemar m'lai shalach yadim mechaz tereyu. So we have a steer and psukim over here. One Pasuk clearly is mashma, you have to do the activity, and you're bringing another Pasuk, Beshamah, that says kol davar pesha, just the thinking of it. Im Kain says, Basil, matam alemar kol davar pesha, sheyachal, I'll tell you what it teaches you, a different halacha, sheyachal, you would have thought, in the Elohu. Obviously, if you do the stealing, you're chayef. Amar la'avda shlucha binayin. How do you know if you tell your eved to take it for you? Or even if you tell a shliach to take it for you? And normally we say, ein shliach l'dvar avera. Talmud Lomar, kol davar pesha. This is one of those exceptions where we say, yesh shliach l'dvar avera, by shlichus yad, that if you tell someone to take something for you, tell someone to be shliach yad v'pikonim for you, and he does what you tell him to do. Obviously, if he does something different, then not. But if he tells something he tells you to do, in that case, you're going to be chayiv, even though it's a shliach, and even though normally ain't shliach dvar avera, divya rav, divya tamad, divya mishemin, etc. Over here, there's a special exercise of kosev, called davar pesha, that there's an exception to that rule, and that's what Beis Hillel does with the pasuk of a called davar pesha. Hitas achavus, the next halach of the Mishnah is, if you tilted it, and you only took out a revius, Amar Rabba Loshanu Ela Nishbara. That which we said, if you tilted it and took out a little bit, you're only chayev on that little bit that you took out. You're not chayev on the rest of the barrel. That's if what happened to the rest of the barrel is that it broke, shattered the rest of the barrel. You have not yet made a kinyan on the rest of the barrel, so you're only chayev on the revius. Avalechmitza, if after you took out the barrel, so you have a barrel that was sealed, and now you opened the barrel and took out a revius of wine, and now the rest of the barrel spoils Mishalim es kula. Now you have to pay for the rest of the barrel, not because of shlichus yad, because you did not make a kinyan on the rest of the barrel. Rather, my time at giri di deu duahanile, you caused the spoilage by taking a little bit of wine out of a sealed barrel. Now you've left air, a pocket of air in that barrel. By leaving a pocket of air in that barrel, that leads to the spoilage of the rest of the barrel of wine. So it's not a question of making a kinyan on it. Rashi says, pshiyahi. Mazik b'yadayim, you're a peshay in this case. It's not really mazik b'yadayim. The Rishonim discuss what Rashi means by that, but clearly the focus here is that you're a pashia, you're a pashia, and you've caused the damage, and therefore you're going to be chayav in the rest of the barrel, not because of shtichas yad, just because you're a shamer and you're a pashia, and they're watching the barrel. Then the Mishnah said, if you pick up the rest of the barrel, and you only take out a revius, then you're going to be chayav in the whole barrel. Amar Shmuel says a chiddush. Loi noto noto mamish. When it says you pick up at the barrel, and then you took out a revius of wine, you're chayav on the rest of the barrel, you don't actually have to take out the revius of wine. Elachivin sheik bia lito avapisha loi noto. Even if you pick it up, even though, and you have intention to take out that revius of wine, even if you did not take it out, that's good enough. This is a little bit more than what Beis Shammai said. Beis Shammai said, you just think about the whole thing. Here you're doing a maisa, but you're doing the maisa with the intention to pick it up, to pour out a little bit of wine. Says Shmuel, you're going to be chayv right away. Why? Lame because of a Shmuel, shichosan and shichosar. So this means you never actually took it. If you never actually took it, it's in its richa chisar, and you didn't do an actual taking, but you did a kinyan, so the kinyan should be enough to make you chayv, even without causing any financial loss. Amri says, my love, dafka. Shani hocha could be really shlichas yad tzricha chisar. And that's how we'll pass in that you have to actually take the wine or cause a financial loss to the person that you're supposed to be watching. But over here, by the cup of wine specifically, it's different. Hocha de nichale te havi hai chavis kula basis. La revius. Because when you take the revius of wine out, if you want to drink the revius of wine right now, fine, great. So obviously you have to take it out to drink it. And then you said you're not going to be chayv for shtichas yad until you actually take it and cause a financial loss to the owner. But it could be over here, you actually want to save the revius of wine for later. The best way to preserve that revius of wine is to actually put it back into the barrel, and then later on, when you need it, you'll take it. Wine doesn't sit well if you leave it in an open cup. It's much better to save if you leave it in a sealed barrel. And therefore, says Shmuel, we look at it as if you took the cup of wine, spilled it back into the barrel, and now you're doing that because you want the barrel to be there to protect the wine. So normally we say tzricha chisar, and you have to take it. Specifically over here, why go through the motions? We consider it as if, since your intention was that to take it, we consider it as if you took it and you poured it back in. And the reason we say that is because you really want the rest of the wine, not to keep. You're not keeping the rest of the wine. You're using the rest of the wine, Rashi calls it a she'ela, to protect the cup of wine that you stole. And therefore, this particular case will make you chayev on it, even if you never actually took it. Bar Vashi, I can think of another case like that. Higbia Arnik, if you pick up a wallet full of money, lead to lemenu dinner, and your intention is to take some money out of it. So you're watching the wallet full of money. Your intention is to pick up the wallet, to make a kinyan on it, to take out a dollar or two from it, in which case you'll be shaleach yad in those few dollars, but not the rest of it. Now, what about in that case, do we apply Shmuel's rule? Chamra hu dolei minta ela agav chamra. Do we say that's only by wine, that if you took out a cup of wine, you probably want to pour it back into the barrel anyways to protect it, of a zuza minta, but money, you could easily take the money out of the wallet, just put the money in your pocket, and therefore the rest of the wallet has nothing to do with anything here. Or does that same type of svar apply here by the wallet as well? The easiest way to protect and see that you have your money is to keep it in a wallet. So maybe just like when Shmuel says, you don't actually have to take the revius of wine. It's keilu you took it and put it back into the barrel for protection. So maybe you're also, when you pick up the wallet, it's keilu you took out the few dollars you wanted and put it back into the wallet for protection, which means you don't actually have to have taken the money out. The fact that you picked up the wallet is good enough, and that would be mechayiv you on that money. So we're not sure. In that case, the Zemalach applies to Ezer Vashi. So we say teku on that Allah. Hadaran aloch hamafkid. Ah, here we go. Hazov. We've all been waiting. Says the Mishnah. Hazov, kanes akesav, akesav, and kanes hazov. So, a few introductory remarks. So, first of all, we have to understand there's a few different ways to make a kinyan. Okay? Normally, we make a kinyan with mashicha, masira. That's the proper way to make a kinyan. When you want to buy something, you go to a mocher, he sells you apples, books, a car, whatever it is, and you, the person who's the purchaser, make a kinyan of some sort on the object that you are buying. Okay, that could be a mashicha, a masira, hagbah, different types of things. You make different types of kinyanim on. When you make that kinyan, then you are chayev now to pay for what you took. Okay, whatever the agreed upon price is, you are now mechuyev to pay for that object that you took, whatever money you decided. The money doesn't become nikna automatically to the person. Right? If we do that, that's what we call a kinyan chalipin, when we swap, when we barter. Okay, there is such a thing called a kinyan chalipin when you barter. So if I am bartering not object for money, but object for object. So I have apples, you have oranges. And I'm going to take a kilo of apples, you'll take my kilo of oranges. When I make a kinyan on your apples, automatically my oranges become nikned to you. That's called a kinyan chalipin, a kinyan of swap. But a normal kinyan that you normally make in a store is not done that way. Normal kinyan you make in a store is when you're buying an object for money. Okay, one side of the transaction is an object, the other side is money, and I'm not giving you any specific money, per se, I'm just being mechayev myself to pay you money. Okay, that's not a kinyan chalipa, but that's a regular kinyan of mekech u'memcher. And in that situation, if I take the object, that's what closes the deal, and now I'm mechayev to pay you the money. Kolzman, I did not take the object, even if we decided and we shook hands and we're going to make a deal, it's not a kinyan, it's not a deal. And I can back out on my side of the deal. That's the simple, normal case of transactions. We have two kinds, a kinyan chalipin, which is a swap, or a kinyan kesef, which means I take the object and I'm mechuyev to pay you money. Until you take the object, you're not. What our mission is coming to discuss is what happens in a situation where you're trading money. Okay. Now, money in those days works very differently than money in our days. And that's really the challenge of this whole perek, is to get that concept through your head, that money in those days works different than money in nowadays. And once you get that, the rest of the perek is easy. Money in those days is based on actual value. Okay, not like our days with nowadays when we have just paper money or even the coins. The coin, if you have a shekel coin, lav dafka is the metal in the shekel actually worth a shekel. Lav dafka is the metal in a quarter actually worth 25 cents. It's probably worth a lot less. Our money is symbolic. Their money was not symbolic. Their money was actually based on value. And the value was determined by two things. It was determined by weight, how much actual metal was in the coin, and it was determined by what type of metal we're talking about. Are we talking about gold? Are we talking about silver? Are we talking about copper? Okay, and those are basically the three types of coin metals that they use for coins. And of course, also it made a difference if it was certified by the king or not. The whole idea of having coins that were certified by the king with the picture of the king on it is by having that certification, the stempel of the king, the picture of the king on the coin, you now theoretically have a certification that this amount of this coin actually has the proper weight in it. In theory, in terms of value, it makes no difference. As long as I have a piece of metal, whatever shape it is, that's made out of silver, that has this weight, it's the same exact value as a silver coin. But by having the picture of the king on it, that makes it certified. Okay, fine. So now what happens when I am trading money? So I have gold coins, you have silver coins, and we're trading them. How does that work? So first of all, you have to understand, we have halacha, we'll see later on in the parak, kesef ena nikne bechalipin. As we said, right, when I take your oranges, you get my apples. It's automatic. I make a kinyan on your oranges, you get my apples. Automatic kinyan. However, when you take my oranges and I'm going to pay you money, the money does not automatically go to you. You cannot make a kinyan chalipin on cash, on money. That's halacha. We'll see later on where we get all this from. You cannot make a kinyan chalipin on money. So if I'm trading money for money, how do we look at that transaction? And the way the Mishnah is going to look at the transaction is that assumingly, I'm not trading silver for silver, because what would I do that for? That makes no sense. I'm trading either silver for gold or silver for copper or vice versa, whatever it happens to be that I happen to need to whatever, for whatever purpose. We look at this transaction that one side of this transaction is considered the object and the other side of this transaction is considered the money. So if I'm trading silver coins for gold coins, am I buying gold coins or are you buying silver coins? We're not swapping. We could swap. You could say it's a swap, but that way it wouldn't work in a regular DNA kinyan, we said. But assuming we're not doing a kinyan chalipin, we're just doing a purchase, so we need to understand who's doing the purchasing. Am I purchasing your gold coins and paying with silver money? Or are you purchasing my silver coins and paying with gold money? What is considered the money and what is considered the object? Or in the Lashon of the Gemara, what is the tiva? What is the coins? And what is the payre? What is the object being purchased?
You could do both.
If
I want your gold and you want my silver, we're each buying each other.
So that's called a kinyan chalipin. That means you're not paying, you're swapping. And that's why I was stressing. There's a difference between paying and swapping. Our Mishnah is talking about paying, not swapping, because there is no kinyan chalipin when it comes to money. Says the Mishnah, Hazov koine esa kesef. The way Rashi translates this word means that if I have gold coins and you have silver coins and we're making a transaction, the gold is the payra. The gold is the object and the silver is the money. Okay, we'll see why this is the case, but generally speaking, silver was more used as money than gold was. Gold is very expensive. Not everybody has gold coins. Silver was the typical, normal coinage that people use. That's fine. There was such a thing as gold coins, but regardless. So when I'm trading, I don't want to say the word trade, when I'm purchasing gold and gold for silver, we treat the gold as the object, as the payer, and we treat the silver as the money. So when I take your gold, I've made a kinyan on the gold, I am now chayiv to pay you the kesef. So azov koines hakesef, and that seals the transaction. Until I take your gold, I have not yet sealed the transaction, I can change my mind. Hakesef ain't a koines azov. If, however, in that situation, you take my silver, and now you want to back out on the deal, says the Mishnah, you could back out on the deal. Because the object being purchased is not the silver. The object being purchased is the gold. And Kolzman, I have not taken the gold, the deal is not sealed. And if the deal is not sealed and finalized, then I can back out. Either side can back out on the deal, even though you've taken the money, but I haven't taken the object. If I didn't take the object, it doesn't work. So in terms of gold and silver, gold is the object, silver is the money. The same thing is in regards to gold, silver, and copper. Silver is considered the money, and copper is considered the object being purchased. Silver is always considered more money-oriented, both in gold and then copper. So in terms of both of these transactions, we consider silver to be the tiva, and we consider the other side to be the payer. Similarly, most rose kunis are yafas. So yafas and a kunis are rose. If you have good money and bad money, Rashi says bad money is money that the king said is not certified anymore. Shanif salute. Taisa says maybe it's not exactly uncertified, but it's not so easy. It's some sort of kingdom that they don't use the money so much anymore. Whatever you want to do. But if we're trading silver for silver, but one is certified coins and one is not certified coins, then the certified coins are the money and the non-certified coins are the object. That would be the payer. Asimon is a chunk of silver that's not a coin at all. So if I'm trading a chunk of silver for coins, so again, the same idea, obviously, the idea the chunk of silver is considered the payra, and the coinage is considered the money. And therefore, obviously, if you're doing a regular transaction, I'm buying some sort of object and being mechuyev to pay you money, it's the kinyan on the object which makes the transaction finalized, not the kinyan on the money. Now you also can have a kinyan chalipin, but a kinyan chalipin, a swap, that only works by metaltum. That does not work by kesef. You can't swap kesef for kesef or kesef for metaltum. You can only swap metaltum for metaltum, like in our example, apples and oranges. Okay, so what's the case in the Mishnah? Moshe chemenu peris, if I make a kinyan on the peris, even though I have not yet paid you for the peris, once I made a kinyan on the object that I'm purchasing, nobody can back out. Noslai samos, however, if I paid you for the object, but I did not yet make a kinyan on the object I'm purchasing, that deal is not finalized. Paying is not finalized the deal. The kinyan is what finalizes the deal. Aval Amru, however, says the Mishnah, don't go so fast that you can back out on all these deals. Aval Amru, Misha Paramian Shidara Mabal Midara Flaga Goshbohu, who punished the Dara Mabal and Dara Flaga, who Asali Parami Misha and Aimin Bidibura. Goshbohu is going to punish people who are not men of their word, as we say, not people of the word, and not people who stand by what they agreed to. So you're not halachically mitam chishin mishpat. Chayev to not change your mind. You could change your mind, halachically, but it's not a good thing. We'll see more about that in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon argues on one point in the Kama, Kol sha kesef bi yodei, yodei alal yoyne. If I pay you for the object, but I have not yet made the kinyan meshicha, says Rabbi Shimon, once I paid, I, the lokeach, cannot back out. The moicher who has the money, he's the one who could still back out and say he's not going to sell it to me. But me, once I've paid, I can no longer back out. We'll see more about that when we get to Shittas of Shimon and the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Masni the Rebbe, Rebbe Shimon Berei. So Rebbe and his son, Rebbe Shimon, were learning by Avos Subanam one night. They were learning this Mishnah and Azov. Okay? And he said, Azov, Karnes HaKesef. He learned it like our Mishnah that says that in terms of gold and silver, gold is the payer, gold is the object, and Kesef is the money. Amalei, so his son, Rebbe Shimon, said to him, Rebbe, Nishnah son of Bialdusei, HaKesef, Karnes HaZov. He says, I remember a few years ago, you taught us the opposite. You taught us that hakesef koine es hazov. You told us that when you're buying and selling gold and silver, the gold is considered the money and the kesef is considered the object. And now you're telling us, like the Gersa we have in our Mishnah, that the gold is considered the object and the kesef is the money. So what's going on here? So it seems to me Rebbe had one opinion on how to be gerus this Mishnah, and then he changed it. What's the difference? Why are things changing? And what's the correct Gersa? So maybe I'll do say myself. If it's like, do say myself. What did he originally think? And what did he think later on? Bialduse Sabar originally thought when we were examining this transaction of gold and silver, he thought, Dava de Choshiv Havetiva. He says we should look at what's the more choshiv, the more expensive, more rare type of metal is the gold. And if gold is the more rare or choshiv type of coin, that should be considered the money. And kesef deloy choshiv haveper. Kesef, which is less choshiv than gold, it should be considered the object. And therefore, the opposite of what we had in our Mishnah, maybe we should treat the gold like the money, and the kesef should be treated as the object being purchased. That's what Rebbe originally thought, and therefore his gears in the Mishnah was, kesef koines azov, that when you take the kesef, now mechuyev to pay you zov. But zov is the coin. The kani le peir le tiva. And when you make a kinyan on the peiris, which in this case is the silver, you're now mechuyev to pay the gold. Later on, Rebbe, when he wrote our Mishnayos, the final version, he said, no, kaspa decharif havitiva. We don't look at what's more choshiv, we determine what's considered the money based on what's easier to use, what's more used in the marketplace as cash. And silver is clearly used more. There are many more silver coins in the market than there are gold coins in the market. So kasif decharif havitiva, david decharif havipere, whereas gold, not. The kani le peir le tiva, and then of course when you make a kinyan on the gold, which is the object, now you have to pay the silver. Amar Rav Ashi comes Rav Ashi the Amar, and he says ki aldusim istaver. I actually like the original version of what Rebbe had, not the gears in our Mishnah. Why? Midiktani, because the second part of the Mishnah said hanachoshes kaines hakesef. We come to tell you a chiddush. What's the chiddush? That when it comes to silver and copper, copper is considered the Paris and silver is considered the money. Now, why do we have to tell me that? If you tell me that when in terms of the relative point of silver and gold, you're going to tell me the Kaspel Gabi Dava Perev, that like the original Rebbe said, that silver is the object, silver is the Paris, then Hainu Diktani Anachosh is kind of Sakesef. And that's the Chiddush that we talk about when we now contrast that with silver and copper. Even though when it comes to silver and gold, we consider this silver to be an object, not the coins. However, when you compare and contrast silver to copper, then we consider silver to be the money. So we do it in terms of chashivas. Between gold and silver, gold is the money. Between silver and copper, silver is the money. So that would be the chiddush. If you're going to tell me when we compare and contrasting gold and silver, gold is the object and silver is the money. So if silver is money compared to gold, which is more chashiv, but still silver is the money. So then for sure the gabi is copper, whereas gold, silver is more expensive, more chashiv, and definitely more used in the marketplace. So what would be the chiddush of that line in the Mishnah? Says Rav Ashi, therefore I actually like the original gears of the Mishnah. That gold, the gabi silver, is coins, but is considered the coin, but silver, the gabi nechashis, is also considered coins. That would be the chiddush. So I love that. It's So, you would have thought, honey, priti, when we're talking about copper, the asra the sagi, where they use copper coins, iu inu charifi tvemi kaspa. In most cities, they use just silver coins. Oh, once in a while, you might have a copper coin here and there. But in certain cities, where they're poor cities, I guess, they use copper coins, and they use more copper coins than they use silver coins. And therefore, you might think, that my mission is teaching you, that even though silver, lagabi, gold, is considered coins, maybe legabi dechoshes. It's not. You would think such a thing. Kamash malon. Dechim and deika duch loisagi peiravi. Since there are many places that don't take copper coins at all, therefore we always consider copper to be the object, not the money. But Rav Ashi himself was leaning towards Rebbe's original girsa of the Mishnah. Reb Chiya suffer dava tivahave. Reb Chiya also held that gold is the money. Gold is not the object. Gold is actually the money. Why are the following story? The Rav Oizbiz Dina Mibarta de Reb Chiya. Rav borrowed gold coins from Reb Chiya's daughter. Okay, so Reb Chiya's daughter, I guess, had a money-changing place. He went and borrowed from her gold coins. L'sayfa yakadina. Now we get to a little bit of a ribbis problem. The problem is when you borrow something and you then come to pay it back and it changed its value based on the marketplace by the time to come to pay it back. Okay, so now if I borrow from you a coin that had, and I can pay you back that same coin, that's not ribbis, obviously. It's a coin. A coin is a coin. Coin is not, coin doesn't fluctuate. It's the value of to buy something that fluctuates, but the coin itself is what it is. So if I borrow from you, just as a bad example, if I borrow from you a dollar and I give you back a dollar, it's fine. But if I borrow from you a cup of orange juice, and then 2 weeks later I want to give it back to you and the orange juice prices have changed, then you could have a ribbis problem. So he borrowed from her gold coins. Now he went to pay her back. If you look considered gold coins to be money, so I could just pay you back gold coins. If you consider gold coins to be the object, and you only value it more silver, then you actually have to determine what the value it is. So he borrowed these gold coins. L'sayfer yakadina, the price seemed to have changed. So also came to Reb Chiya. They went to her father Reb Chiya. Amaleri, he passed him to Rav. Zil shalom la tivin takvin. You can pay back regular coins. It's fine. Remember, Rav and Reb Chiya was Rav's uncles. Rav is borrowing here from his cousin. Right, his daughter, his cousin, So he said, no problem, you can pay back gold coins. Now, what do you see from that? If you're going to tell me that gold is considered the money, so then shopper, you borrow gold coins, you pay back gold coins, it's all money, it's fine. If you're going to say that it's actually considered an object, it's not considered the money. This is like when you borrow a saw of wheat and you pay back a saw of wheat a month later and the value has changed, you're not allowed to do that. So from the factor of Chiya said, you borrowed gold coins, you can pay back gold coins. It's mashmi, he's treating gold as money, not like our Mishnah, which treated gold as an object. Says Malav Dafka. Rav Dina Havile. The halach is that when you borrow a pile of wheat and you want to pay back later wheat and you're afraid the value changed, that's usur. But if when I borrow from you wheat, I already have wheat. It's just locked up and I don't have the key right now. So I'm borrowing it from you because I don't have access to the wheat that I have. That's okay. Because then we consider it as if when I took your wheat, the wheat that I own that's locked up was already nicked it to you now. So it's not the pshat I'm giving it back to you later and the price has changed. Rather, we consider it as if the wheat was yours from the first moment. And here also, Rav Dina Havilei. Rav had gold coins. And therefore, V'chivin da Havilei Dinra Nasik Armelei, it becomes as if Halveni Ad Shiyove B'ni or Shem Tzimavtech. It's like I'm borrowing an object that I have right now, that I'm just going to pay you back later when I get access to it. And therefore, lav dafka do we again see in this case that we're treating gold like money, because he paid it back easily. It could be we treat gold like an object, but over here it was mutter, sabasa is going to be, Sama Rava. Rava also says, Hai Tana Savar Dava Tivavi. The following Tana also holds that gold is actually the ultimate currency and not silver. So our gears on our Mishnah was that silver is the ultimate currency. We've already said that Rav Ashi and seemingly Rav Chiya, although it was 100% clear, said that gold is. And Rava also says, the following Tana says, Tisanya, Pruta, when we talk about a Pruta in Halacha, Sh'amru, Echad Mishmoina B'Isser Ha'italkis. You wonder how much a Pruta is? If you get this coin, which is an Isser, which they made in Italy, in Rome, whatever it was. So 8 Prutas are in an Isser Ha'italki. So it's 1/8 of an Isser Ha'italki. Who cares how big a prut is? So that's easy. We know you're Mekadosh Isha with a pruta, so you have to know how much a prut is. What is a pruta? It's 1/8 of an Isser Italki. Well, that doesn't help me necessarily, because how much silver, how big of a coin is an Isser Italki? So Isser is Echad Me'esim Ve'arba B'dinah Shokesef. So if you have a dinner of kesef, that's no problem. One, there's 24 iser in a dinner of kesef. So if you know that you have a dinner of kesef, 24 iser go into that. 8 prutas go into that. So now you know exactly how much is an iser and how much is a pruta. L'may nafkamina, what do I care? How many of those go into, how many iser go into a dinner of kesef? So when you're buying and selling coins, you have to make sure you have the right price. So you have to pay the right amount of iser for each silver coin. So that's the right price. The fixed price, l'chaira, is 24. So remember, that's not so straightforward either, continues the Braisa. And dinner shel kesef, how expensive, how much value is there in a dinner shel kesef? Echer me esem v'chamish v'dinner shel zov. It's very, Tosfos even debates this, how there should be such a gap. But the Gemara is saying that the value of gold is 25 times higher than the value of silver. Okay? Okay, Tosfos says in his days it was about half of that. It wasn't even close to that. It debates on Pshat in the Gemara, but the Pashat Pshat in the Gemara is 25 times higher. So therefore, if you want to know how big is a pruta, there's 8 prutas in an iser. There's 24 isers in a silver coin, and there's 25 silver coins in a gold coin, which means that if you want to know how much is a pruta, there are 4,800 prutas in a gold coin, which means if the price is setting it up that way, finish the price, hold on, the mine of kamina le pidgin aben. The nafkamina for this is to know pidgin aben. Why does it have to do pidgin aben? So Rashi explains that by pidgin aben, the aloch is that by pidgin aben, Rashi says it's chamesh shkolim, which is really a shekel is a seller, Rashi says. And there are 4 sela. A sela is dollar dinre zov. A sela is 4 dinre zov, which we already said is going to be, which sachakol, 4 times 5 is going to be 20 dinner. So if someone gives you a gold coin, which is 25, you actually 25 silver coins and a gold coin, so you only need 4/5 of that for pidgin aben, so you give him back 5 silver coins of change. Okay. But what is this? See, what do you see from this price? It says the Gemara of Kamina Jabet. If you're going to tell me that the ultimate currency is gold, and gold is the fixed currency, and everything else fluctuates based on its relationship to the gold, so then it makes sense. Mishayar Tanah, me did the kids. So the Tanah is telling you, you want how much of a pruta is? It's based on Isser. How much is an Isser? Based on silver. How much is silver? Ultimately, it's all based on gold. Gold is the ultimate, we would call a dollar or a shekel, and everything else is just a fraction of that. So if we talk about a quarter or a nickel, right, a quarter is 25% of a dollar. If we're talking about an agura in our world, or a 10 agurot, that is a tenth of a shekel. But the shekel or the dollar is the fixed currency that we deal with. So if the price is ultimately tying it back to gold, that means the price is saying, says Rava, that gold is the currency. Not silver is the currency, but gold is the currency. It says, Liam at Perahave, if you're going to tell me that gold is not the currency, really the currency is silver. And everything else fluctuates according to silver. So that it makes no sense that you all tie it back to gold if gold actually fluctuates based on its relationship to silver. Sometimes you're going to be paying more or less if you're doing it. If you tell me that pidgin aben is based on 4/5 of a gold coin, but a gold coin is not the currency. A gold coin is considered the peri, so you're not getting anywhere because then you always are going to have to be shired back based on the silver. And sometimes you're going to be paying too much if you do it based on gold. Sometimes you're going to be paying it too little based on gold. Clearly, clearly this Tana holds 100% not like our Mishnah. So even though we said in our Mishnah that Rebbe originally held gold was the currency, and then he changed and he held silver was the ultimate currency, we clearly see there's at least one Tana who clearly holds, even the Maskana, that gold is the currency, not silver. And therefore, according to him, the gears of the Mishnah would be Kesef Koines HaZov, not Zov Koines HaKesef. So there's actually more than that. Tanan Hosom, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Masechtas Meister Sheni. The halacha of the Meister Sheni is, if you have fruits or whatever, crops of Meister Sheni that you want to bring to your Shalayim, you don't want to schlep it, so you can be paid it. The halacha is Vatzarta HaKesef, you paid it onto money. You paid it onto money, and you take the money to your Shalayim. So Beisham Yerim, Layasa Odom Sloyin Din Rezov. If you have silver coins that you will pay the Meister Sheni onto, and it's heavy. It's a lot of silver coins. You have a lot of crops. So therefore, you want to change it, the silver coins, for gold coins. He says you can't do that because you're only allowed to be paid onto money. And you can exchange money for money, but you can't exchange money for fruits only in Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to take Meister Sheni money and buy stuff with it to eat outside Yerushalayim. You buy it in Yerushalayim. So if you're taking these silver coins, says Beishamay, you're not allowed to trade them in for gold coins because gold coins are not money. Gold coins are objects, like our Mishnah said. Basil Matirin. Basil said you could, that you could change the silver coins for gold coins. Now, what's the machlokes over here? Shabbi Yechon Mishlakish explain that Mishnah in Meister Sheni. Chadamer, one of them says, machlokes b'slayim al dinar. The machlokes between Beisham and Basil is trading in silver coins for gold coins. The Beisham is savi kesef tivahave. Kesef is the ultimate currency. V'dava pera. Gold is only an object. It's something you do relative to the gold currency, silver currency. But Zov is not that. V'tiva per lemichlinon. You're not allowed to be paid the money onto non-money. And therefore, it's also. Beisil savri, kaspa per have, v'dava tivahave. Beisil actually says the opposite. He says that gold is the ultimate currency. like Rebbe held Bialduse, he had gold is the ultimate currency, and if gold is the ultimate currency, then you could change silver for gold, that's fine. V'davativa v'peirativa mechalinan. Aval, peiris al dinan, divriyakom mechalinan. If you want to be paid actual peiris onto gold coins, that you could do. That you could do. Even though you can't change silver coins for gold coins, according to Beis Shammai, because the gabe kesef, gold is not considered money. But the gabe real fruits, gold is considered money. Like we said, it's all relative. Just like we said in the Mishnah, my time up, midi ave a kesef le beisil. Just like kesef itself, according to beisil. Kesef le beisil, afagab the kasp le gabe dava. Peira ave, we said, in reference to gold, if the old gold is the ultimate currency, so silver, in reference to gold, is considered objects. It's considered peira. But le gabe peira divave, but everybody agrees that silver is money when it comes to real fruits. So everybody, even though Basil says that legabe zov, kesef is peira, but legabe peira, kesef is money. So you can have something that legabe one thing is considered money, and legabe the other thing is considered an object. So zov nami the beishamai, zov according to beishamai as well. Afagav the dav legabe kaspa peira, even though beishamai says that gold is considered fruit in terms of silver, legabe peira tibabe. But of course, in terms of real fruit, gold, even Beishame agrees, is considered money enough that you can be paid a Maaser Sheni onto gold. That's one sheet in the Machlekes Beishame Sol. The Chanam, or the other sheet that says, Af peiris al dinir machlekes. Then no, Beishame says, gold is not money at all. Gold is not money. Gold is just gold. You might have a picture of a king on it, doesn't matter. It's still just considered gold. It's not considered money. You cannot be paid a Maaser Sheni onto gold at all. It has value, but it's not a kesef. It's a commodity. It's a better word for it. It's a commodity. It's not a currency. Okay. Says the Gemara, Ulaman Yamar Afa Peris al Dinar and Machloikis, if you say that they argue whether gold is considered a currency at all. So the Mifigli Bislan Dinar, so then why does the Mishnah argue about changing silver for gold? Mifigli Peris al Dinar. Why don't you just say they argue whether they can be paid a Maaser Sheni with gold at all? Says my Mifigli Peris al Dinar, if you would have said that, Havi Amina, Hani Mi Peris al Dinar, Avo Beslaim al Dinar, Marin al Besil Beshamid de Dabla Gabbe Kaspa Pera Havi. That even though Beis Hillel says you can use gold to be paid the Maaser Sheni, maybe you cannot change silver coins for gold coins. Right? V'loy mechalinan, kamash v'lon, that no, that Beis Hillel holds you could. So we're coming out now that this whole discussion whether gold is a currency or gold is an object or a commodity actually might be a machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. And therefore the whole, obviously, if you're going to say it's like Beis Shammai, that holds it's not, then you're going to have to change our Mishnah and say the Mishnah is the other way. You're not going to paskin our Mishnah like Beis Shammai, of course. But this whole point, my Machlokes Beis Shammai Zil, what we don't know yet is who said what. Remember, we said this two pshat when this Machlokes Beis Shammai Zil between Rabbi Yechon and Shakish, we're not clear who said which, Chadam or this and Chadam or that. Tomorrow we'll have to see exactly which Amira said which pshat and how that fits back to our Mishnah. Agut and Shams.